morning, everyone. I woke up this morning a little surprised. I shouldn't be. This is springtime. But I thought summer was here, but it's not. Winter's back. Good to have visitors with us this morning. You know, I have this privilege to stand before you this morning and be able to share with you some of God's Word, all because of love. And that love, to me, is the first and everlasting energy of all Christian life. No, it's not the only thing in the Christian way. There are lots of other very important things, but this love is the greatest. I thank Malachi for his reading this morning, and the songs, and the Lord's table, and the prayers that we've had have all talked about love to a certain degree. But the main points that we're going to be discussing this morning, we're going to kind of define what love is, and then we're going to look at the difference between mortal, the love of us human beings, and God's love, and then we're going to look about how can we get God's love, how can we attain that, how can we emulate that in our lives. So the main those are going to be kind of the main points of this lesson, but unarguably, the words that were spoken by Brother Malachi as he in his reading on love are more important than any remarks or comments that I'm going to make. But number one, the number one thing that we all must know, and I believe that we surely do, is God is love. And this means that His divine love sets the standard for the love of every Christian. So number two, therefore it is very important for us to understand the differences between divine and human love. And this brings up the big question to each of us to answer is, how can I assimilate divine love in our hearts and lives? Now, I want you to keep in mind that this is what I call a Bible reading study this morning. So keep your Bibles open. All the members of the church, I want you to have your Bibles open and be focused on it. Nothing else in the world. Don't be thinking about your job, your family, your school, or anything. Be focused on the Bible. Keep your Bible open, and because we're going to be looking. We're going to go back into the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians and do a little commenting on that. So this gives us a description of love to begin with. So let's just go back and look at Malachi's, what he read in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. We heard that, as he read in verse number 1, it doesn't matter how precisely eloquent we speak, if not spoken in love, we are nothing but a loud noise. And in verse 2, it doesn't matter if we're gifted to understand absolutely everything and even have faith to remove mountains. Without love, we are nothing. Now that word, that Greek word that's translated nothing, means not the least, not at all, no account or value. And Paul used this Greek word in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter in verse 11, when he was talking, comparing himself with the other apostles. He said, I'm really not behind any of those apostles, even though I was born out of due season. But he said, I am a nobody. And that's that same Greek word. Then in verse number 3, it says, it doesn't matter if we're the greatest philanthropist in the world, even sacrificing our very lives. If we do it without love, it counts nothing. And then when he read to us from verses 4 through 7, That's really describing, this is really the nature of what God's love really is. Divine love really is. Love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on having its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't rejoice at wrong, but it rejoices in righteousness. And then it has 4 points here, what love does. Love bears all things. In other words, this means it forbears the faults of others against oneself. It believes all things. That means completely trusting God and the very best in others. Love hopes all things. In other words, it never ceases to be hopeful of things. And it says love endures all things. In other words, it puts the very best possible face on things. Yes, it discriminates between good and evil, but then it puts the very best possible face on things. And you know, if we want to have a fuller understanding of this nature of the divine love, all we need to do is open our Bibles and read about Jesus. Because Jesus himself, as he was here on earth, he demonstrated and told us what love, the divine love, really is. And then in verse 8, we find that love is eternal. It's everlasting. It's always been here with God, and it always will be into eternity with all of us who move on to the eternal life. And then finally in verse 13, I think this means that all else, including faith and hope, they will cease. Only love will endure. Therefore, we can say with assurance that love is the greatest of all. So, I think with this knowledge, how should we love one another? Now keep in mind, this is a Bible reading study, so turn with me. And let's go to 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verses 13 through 18. Also read in our hearing by Brother Malachi. In verse 13 it says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." So I want you to notice as we read down through here, there's a distinct contrast highlighted between hate and love. And it has to do with hate means death. Love is associated with life. And there's just a complete difference, the contrast there. And we'll notice that. Verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." So there, love and life are connected together. "He who does not love," and that would be in the connecting with hate, "his brother abides in death." Verse 15, "Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And therefore, we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." This is all in accordance with God's love and what he wants us to have. Verse 17, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" And then we're going to see the first and second great commandments. They're all very obvious in this whole lesson. But in verse 18 it says, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." Very strong teaching. And let us never forget that God is love. 1 John 4 and verse 8. Those are the inspired words of the Apostle John. Therefore, if we will allow God in us, we will be able to lay down our lives for the brethren. What we just read. And you know, we need to give that some thought to that idea of laying down our lives for our brethren. And I can see right now I've got a lot of work to do. But you know, the Lord is aware of this, that we have this physical weakness. And He gives us encouragement in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, verse 12, where He said, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." Now that word, "the Lord make," may the Lord make, that word means to make, to cause, to increase, to exceed, to have more than enough. In other words, that word kind of comes from a Greek word that means superabundance of this love. And Paul teaches that God will enable Christians to fulfill the law of love. Now, if you say, "Well, you know, I'm really having a lot of difficulties in life. I'm having a lot of problems. It just doesn't seem like the love of God is working in my life." And if we have this feeling, and yes, we go through difficulties in life. We all will have difficulties as long as we live. But if life is seeming over difficult and burdensome to us, it may be that we are trying to live it by ourselves. And if that's the case, we're going to have some real problems. So now let's consider the contrast between human and divine love. You know, human love always has an object before becoming energized. For example, let me give you an example. A husband's love for his wife. And this is from strictly a human perspective of the husband's love for his wife. But a husband's love for his wife develops based on her varying human characteristics. Her looks, her affections, her thriftiness, her trustworthiness, her emotional temperament, from her sense of responsibility, from her understanding nature, or maybe because of her similar disposition, or maybe it's the opposite disposition, because we know that opposites attract. So you see, the husband is primarily concerned, and this is important to know, the husband is primarily concerned about how her characteristics will benefit him. And yes, men, we need to admit to that. Now, in and of itself, these are not wrong reasons for love. And we're talking about the human physical love. These are not wrong reasons for love, but they are not completely in sync with the divine love. And just when we think about reading 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter again, how does man's love, human love, compare with the love that we read in 1 Corinthians 13? It said, "Love is patient, it's kind, it's not jealous or boastful, it's not arrogant or rude, it does not insist on having its own way, it's not irritable or resentful, it doesn't rejoice at wrong, it rejoices in righteousness, it bears all things, it believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." That same thing that we went over. Well, how does a husband's this physical love compare to that? So, what is the difference between human love and divine love? Well, divine love is always extended as the initial step for the benefit of others, not oneself. And it is not for the benefit And remember, we know that in God's love, it was not for the benefit of God that He loved man. So now let's look at a Christian husband's love for his wife from the Scriptures in Ephesians, the 5th chapter and verse 28. Notice, a Christian husband loves himself through his love for his wife. And here's what the verse says. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, this is not referring to the degrees of love, but loving their wife as being one body with themselves. And that goes along with verse 31, where it says, the two shall be one flesh. So we can see here there is absolutely no selfishness in divine love. None whatsoever. In human love, yes. Selfishness is a big problem in just plain mortal human love, but not in divine love. There is a big difference. You know, divine love was extended first to all people, meaning the high and the low, and yes, even the most unworthy. In John 4, 1 John 4 and in verse 19, it says that we love Him because He first loved us in all of our messy sins. That's implied. You know, we might look at the mother-child relationship. It might give us a semblance of this divine love that we're trying to get our arms around. But, you know, just consider a mother taking care of her sick or dirty children and cleaning them. You know, and some can be quite a mess. Well, she doesn't do this to love on them. No, she does it because of her love for them, regardless of their dirty messes. You know, there's one big difference between the words like and love. We cannot like a dirty, base man, but with divine love, we must reach out to him and love him. And I know that because that's what God did and God does all the time. And that's how all Christians must love all people. Number three, the question is now, how can I get this divine love? I want that kind of love because I can see myself in the human love aspect and the selfishness and the different things. But so how can I get that divine love? Well, here's an illustration from nature. We all understand that a chicken cannot fly like an eagle, or it can't swim like a duck. But if the life or the nature of the eagle or duck could be implanted in the chicken, then the chicken could fly or swim. And so it is with man. With us. We humans cannot love like God loves unless God's life and nature is implanted into us. But some will say, well, oh, that can't happen. But yes, it can. It can happen. And having just listened to the lesson thus far this morning, tell me, by what can it happen? Well, it can happen by the divine love of God. John 3:16. That's the first step in the process. For God so loved the world, the wicked, evil, messy world. He loved that world that so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's where it begins, with love. You see, in a sinner's conversion, that old man of sin must die. We must put that old man of sin to death and bury that old man of sin. And then and only then can we rise out of baptism to a new life in Jesus, filled with His Spirit and with that divine love. Yes, we have to develop it. And it doesn't matter how many years we've been baptized. In my case, 63 years. I'm still working on it. So we just have to keep trying to fill and make that divine love a part of our lives. In Romans 6 and 4, it says, "Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism unto death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And the newness begins with love. And this is how we know that we are begotten of God. 1 John, the 5th chapter and verse 18. I may be reading these too fast for you to turn. I told you to watch your Bibles, but I'm probably going too fast. But in 1 John, if you would turn to 1 John 5 and verse 18. This is really very special for us in this lesson. The Apostle John, writing in the latter years of his life and the latter years of the first century, one of the last, he was the last apostle. He had seen the death of Jesus, and he had seen the church started, and he saw the problems that were coming into the church. He knew all about all of these things. And so he said, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life." God is in us as Christians. And in this new process, in this new birth process, one is given a new purified heart, which includes a dose of divine love. In 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 22, 1 Peter 1 and 22, here we learn the role in life, our role in life as a Christian. "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And that is the divine love of God within us. So in conclusion to my lesson, to our lesson, Malachi's and mine, unarguably, divine love is the greatest of all. And we can share in it. And that's what's so wonderful. Because God is love, and His nature can be stamped upon us. It can be placed inside of us. We can be called children of God. In 1 John, again, verse 3 and verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God." And when I look at my life and look back on my life, what the Lord has had to cover, what the sins that He has had to cover from my life, then certainly, what manner of I know He loved me. He must have loved me. He did love me with that divine love. And remember then, children have the nature of their father. This is true physically, but it's also true spiritually. So also, this love or nature of God will help us help our love to increase and abound more and more in our lives. And that's a continuing thing throughout our Christian life. It is an increase and abounding in love. It should be. Now, it'll only be our fault if it fails to increase every day. or if it fails to abound every day, it's my fault. But it can, because through God it can. So in closing, in 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and verses 12 and 13, as Malachi read, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, with all His saints." So that's our lesson for today. I hope we will keep that in our minds and our hearts, and that we will meditate and reflect on ourselves. And am I really allowing the love of God to come through my life? Does it show in my life? Sometimes we can't see ourselves very well, but other people can see us. And so I hope that they can see a life that is filled with the love of God and for one another. And by doing that, we're keeping the first and second commandments, upon which hinges and stabilizes all the